Welcome, good ladies and sirs, to the Comic Knights podcast. Join us at the round table as we delve into the not-so-dark ages of comics. We should not be speaking of anything that came out this week. Our crusade is to delve into the past and bring you untold riches. I'm your host, Andrew Shaw. Okay, and this week I have with me, you know him as Aqualec on Twitter. He's also one of the hosts of the Death Rocket podcast, also part of the Big Top Network, Young Billy.
Thank you. How are you, Andrew?
Good, mate. How are you tonight?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I'm not young. I'm old.
You're younger than me.
Well, actually, no, wait. I'm young compared to you. You're what, like 50?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so before we get into this week's topic, what I ask of all my guests is, Billy, what is your Holy Grail issue?
Okay, well, look, I don't have like a one-issue Holy Grail. I mean, I've got everything I need for comics and whatnot, but what I am trying to do is collect every single issue where Spider-Man has a one-off costume.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking like paper bag for a head and Fantastic Four costume.
One of my favorites.
Or the Steel Alloy costume, which lasted two issues or something.
Yep.
Another one is like a rubber latex costume, which he wore against Electro.
That makes sense. And you would have a few of the issues from recent, when, especially when Dan Slott took over and made him wear about four different costumes in five issues.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't mind that. I mean, I know that people had a lot of problems with it because of all the changes, but does it really matter?
No. I like it. I just don't like the changes now.
Oh, really? You're not liking it at the moment?
No. It's not Peter Parker. It's Dr. Octopus. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
I guess they've never really killed off Peter Parker before, in theory.
No, and I don't want them to.
Yeah.
And just, I'm sorry, but he just comes off as rude, Dan Slott. He's like, oh, I gave the fans a hit glimmer of hope and I've just taken it away. And it's like, well, dude. Sorry, it's me getting all fanboyish.
That's all right. No, I understand.
I really love that character. And it just sucks that he's gone. It's annoying.
But as we always say in comics, he will be back.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm assuming, I will say, he'll probably come back a little bit before Amazing Spider-Man 2, the movie.
He probably will, because, I mean, do they really want to have Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man while there's a Spider-Man movie coming out?
Exactly.
I mean, they don't have... I mean, it is Dr. Octopus in Peter Parker's body, but...
Spoilers! Spoilers!
Oh, it's not a spoiler. It's been around for a while. it's like 10 issues in.
Yep. It's like when me and Alan did Alpha Flight, and we were talking about issue 12 of it, where one of the characters dies, and we sort of... we had a bit of a struggle or a bit of a, you know, just trying to see if we would actually spoil the issue.
Mm.
But it's a near 30-year-old comic.
Yeah, I know. That's it. You can't really spoil it.
No. So have you got most of the armor ones or the different costumes?
I've got a few. Like, I mean, I'm including in that when Spider-Man turned into the Lizard. So I got that.
Yep.
I've got the armored one.
Yep.
I haven't got the paper bag one. I haven't got the rubber latex one.
You got the Iron Spider?
Yes, I do. I wasn't a huge fan of the Iron Spider.
I don't mind the look. I just thought it was a bit strange when he had arms shooting
out. Yeah, yellow. Well, I didn't like that it was yellow and red. I mean, he could have done that with blue and red.
Yeah, but it's Tony Easy. Stark. It's all about Tony Stark.
Yeah, I know, still.
What was the other one? Now, the armor one, that's Amazing 200, is that right? 300.
No, I think it might be Spectacular.
Oh, okay.
Not too sure. There's because there was a few of them. There was like Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yep.
The Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man.
Only a couple of books.
There was a couple of books.
Okay. All right. Well, before we move on to our topic for the night, I just wanted to let everybody know that we are going to announce the winner of our competition at the end of this episode. And the competition was thanks to All-Star Comics, Level 1 of 410 Lonsdale Street in Melbourne. They've been kind enough to give us a hardcover of the Brian Michael Bendis Moon Knight series. It collects issues 1 to 7. And what we asked everyone was, what character would you like to see brought back and how would you like them brought back? So at the end of this episode, I've got Billy having a look. He's having a look at the entries. He's going to judge it for me and we'll announce it at the end.
Mm.
So we've sent it out on Twitter and Facebook. We've been sending it out for a little while. So
the book of face and the book of... Yeah.
And the tweet of books or the... I don't know. As the recording of this, we've put out on Twitter that you've got an hour. So hopefully you've got your entries in and you'll find out at the end of this. Okay, so this week I've convinced Billy. It wasn't Billy's choice. It was I convinced him. We're going to look at...
He twisted my arm.
Twisted his arm, yes. He's got a dislocated shoulder now. Look at what originally was was my Holy Grail issues. But since... Just recently, I was able to pick them both up fairly cheap off eBay. We're looking at this week Werewolf by Night number 32 and 33. And I'm not sure if you're not familiar with these issues, it's actually the first appearance of my absolute favorite character of all time, Moon Knight.
First appearance of Moon Knight.
First appearance ever. So I've been looking forward to doing this one, and I'm glad I roped Billy into it. So this issue, these two issues, were written by Doug Munch, art by Don Perlin. And they were published in August 1975. Unlike what Billy said earlier, no, I wasn't born when these issues came out.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
So, yeah. So, what were your impressions on these issues, Billy? What did you think of them?
They were interesting. Interesting for his first appearance of Moon Knight. I mean, I get that the whole... a character is different in... I mean, the character is different in various other comics that he's starring in. He just comes off like a dirtbag.
Yeah, he was a villain. Effectively, yeah. He was a villain.
Now I know why you like him, because you like your villains.
Yes, I do. I do like my very obscure villains, that's for sure. But yeah, when you think about it, I mean, when they delve into his origin later on in the actual Moon Knight title... Mark Spector was a mercenary, so it makes sense that he was taking money from the committee to take down one of the... Even though I love Werewolf by Night, his alter ego has one of the worst names in comics, Jack Russell.
Oh, wow. He's a werewolf and his name is a dog. Wow.
That's it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah, so it makes a bit of sense that someone would hire him. He was a mercenary for such a long time.
Yes. Yes, he was.
But there's one other thing that people never really mention is that there's another first introduction in this book, and that's of Moon Knight's offsider, Frenchie, who is one of the biggest stereotypical Frenchmen in comics.
Yes. Yes, he was. Is he still around? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Frenchie was still around.
So he's still alive. I thought he might have died, like... Moon Knight might have killed him or something.
No, he lost his legs at one point, so he's got metal legs in the recent stuff.
Okay.
And they early on in it, he was a very big ladies man, always out with the ladies and that sort of thing. And when Charlie Houston took over with David Finch, they actually made the character gay.
What, Frenchie?
Yep.
Wow.
And it was... I mean, having read a lot of the original Moon Knight stuff recently, they show him with different women all the time early on. And so even though, like, I've got nothing against making a character gay, it was just – it seemed like a bit of a stretch.
Mm.
And they even gave it as like, oh, I just went out with those women because I couldn't accept who I was and I was always in love with you, Mark. And it's like, oh, come on. There was no natural progression. It wasn't – it just felt – It didn't work for the character. But yeah, so these two issues were introduced to, well, when we first, the first page is Moon Knight punching the living suitcase out of Jack Russell.
Yes, yes, it is.
And I just to go back a little bit, I love the cover, how it's got the can even a werewolf battle a man clad in solid silver and survive?
Nice, nice. Because, yeah, his costume is very different to what it normally looks like.
Oh, yeah.
The Stalker called Moon Knight.
And, yeah, he's got his cape is, it's almost like it's not a cape. It's, what would you say that looks like?
It's like isn't it like what Nightwing used to have? It's like stuff attached. It's attached to his forearm. Is it forearm?
Yeah, forearms. No,
it's attached to his. It's attached to his forearms from his back. So it's like if he stuck his arms out, he could glide.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they had it like that.
He wore something similar in his early appearances, but it was. So this one has it's a couple of different strips in that first page.
I like it. I actually like this better.
Well, in the original stuff, the stuff that was drawn later on by Bill Sienkiewicz, he has that, but it's filled in. And when he opens his arms out, it's the shape of a moon.
Mm.
And it's like a moon-shaped hang glider. And it looked really cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. But going through the issue, Moon Knight's very talkative.
Yeah, he is. He's very like, come on, scum. Come on, freak.
Yeah.
Get back up so I can kick your butt again.
Very, very arrogant.
I hate cowards who run. He's like Mr. T. No pain, no gain.
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
But and then we get a little bit of a flashback on how Jack Russell ended up being where he is. And one of the things that I thought was just a little bit ridiculous is that when he talks about he was attacking a 7-year-old girl as the werewolf, and his best friend, Buck Cowan, saved him, or saved her. But did you catch the little girl's name?
I didn't.
Her name
Buttons.
Is Buttons. And it doesn't seem like it's a nickname.
No.
Who calls a kid Buttons?
The same person who calls a kid Apple. So probably...
Gwyneth Paltrow.
What's her name? Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow.
But yeah, as we move along, we find out that Jack has attacked his best friend and ripped him to shreds and almost killed him. And
yeah, and pretty much mauled him.
Yeah. And he's in a coma.
And he's, in a coma. They're trying to fix him up, sew him up and everything. He's got heaps of lacerations and whatnot.
Yeah. And we learn that Jack is going to bring him back because he thinks he's dead, so he's going to go to someone who actually knows about, I guess, zombies, bringing people back from the dead. And he talks about going to meet this guy, but he heads home, and that's when we first meet Moon Knight. This is all done in flashback. So the first part is them fighting, but this next part is done in flashback to get to the point where Moon Knight and Jack Russell fight.
Mm.
And I like how...
I was just going to say, and this is where Moon Knight does his backstory.
Which is, I love comics, but this sort of stuff where, hello Russell, they told me to announce myself as the Moon Knight. And then he goes, whoa, this is why I'm doing it. And he just runs through.
Pretty stupid name, but I'll do it as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah? And how am I concerned? Who are you besides a Lunar Crusade rabbit?
And just, he goes into why.
Let's say I'm a working man, Russell. How do you do my job and collect my bread? And it goes for what is it? 6, 7, 8 panels?
Yeah, and it's just him talking about how he met the committee and, they hired him to take out. And I like how there's one panel where they say, I find your dossier interesting. Soldier of fortune, mercenary, veteran of 3 African wars, 5 South American revolutions, brief flirtation with the CIA, weapons expert, versatile practitioner of virtually all the martial arts, ex-prize fighter, marine commando for 8 years. And, I like that they're giving us a bit of backstory on him. But
they're showing that he's not a man to be messed with.
Yeah. But you know what's funny is that this little bit here, if this had been a book now where we have, 6 issues for an introduction of a character, this would have been told over 3 issues.
Yeah.
we would have started.
That's the thing as well. Comics back then were very wordy.
Oh yeah, but you got a lot. Yeah. You got a lot of story in there as well.
Yeah, but see, also, I mean, that all stuff would have been in a bio at the beginning of a comic,
or at the end, I guess. Do like a little Ohotmu page. You know what the Ohotmu is, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. For those out there who don't know, it's the official handbook of the Marvel Universe,
which they bring out every 2 years.
Yeah.
And fanboys buy and buy and buy. I don't. I bought one once just that so I could have it and I could draw pictures and so forth.
Yep.
But I don't see the need for them to be brought out every 2 years.
I remember getting one in a show bag as a kid and cutting out the pictures and pasting them into some scrapbook and drawing word balloons and stuff around them.
You cut up a comic?
I know. I better hand in my nerd card.
Yes, yes you should.
That's not probably not for the only thing, too. And we also, in these issues, the two issues, we get a bit of a side story for a man named Raymond Coker, who goes off to, I think it's Haiti, somewhere like that, to meet up with someone who knows about zombies.
Okay.
It's only in a couple of pages, but at the end, in the second issue, at the end of that little side story, he actually talks about meeting up with a man called Jericho Drum.
Yes.
Who is another one of my... I love all these sorts of horror characters, and Jericho Drum is up there.
Yes.
The good old Dr. Voodoo.
Dr. Voodoo. Wait. Is that the younger one, or is that the older brother?
Well, the older brother's dead, isn't he? He's the ghost.
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was...
Yeah. But yeah, so we get back to... So what's weird is that we get from... The start of the book is Moon Knight fighting the werewolf. Then we introduce mm-hmm. through flashback. And towards the end of the book, we get back to that point where Moon Knight stops Jack Russell and they're off to the committee. To his, mm-hmm. He's knocked him out and they're off. So yeah, so the art in this, I really like the art in this.
Yeah, you know what? For old comics, it's not that great. It's not that bad. I mean, other old comics, like, see, my dad has been collecting the Phantom since he's a kid, and I like how that's consistent all the way through, and it's usually not bad. And this kind of reminds me of the Phantom.
Okay, yep.
Like that sort of really cool art style.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. I'm reading at the moment, like I'm going through Werewolf by Night number 23 in like the second last page.
Yep.
Where he's giving him a beat down.
Oh, 32, you mean.
Sorry, yeah, 32. He's giving him a beat down.
Yep.
Out of the way, fans. Payday's just around the corner. I'd rather kill this hairy monster than let those cops cut me off for my bread. It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
All about the Benjamins.
But yeah, when you're saying about the art, it's the like all the men have the big square jaw and the you know the very strong jawline. Mm. All the women have that John Buscema, John Romita look about them as well.
Yes.
Except for the old Haggard.
Well, wasn't that kind of the school of Marvel?
Yeah, it was the Marvel style.
Marvel style.
You need to be able to draw in the Marvel style for it to work. But so yeah, as we go along, reading this issue again, how many times did they fall in the water from the helicopter and from the pier?
Is this issue
33?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot.
It's like three or four times while they're fighting. They fall in the water and then they get out and one of them gets out and the other one drags them back.
Fall, get up.
It almost felt like they were trying to pad it a little bit. Even though they had heaps of story, it seemed like they were trying to
no!
add a little bit more.
No, you stupid idiot. We're 500 feet up.
Yep.
And we're falling.
I do like the idea that, I mean, Moon Knight now is white. He wears white most of the time. But in this...
He was pretty much black, wasn't he?
Oh, he was silver in this. He's clad in silver. You know, if you're going to fight a werewolf, why not take silver?
See, I've only read the black and white issues of this.
Well, yeah,
it actually looks really cool in black and white.
there's a really good run of Moon Knight in it was a backup for a Hulk magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the Moon Knight Essential number one. And it's Bill Sienkiewicz art, and it's all in black and white. Even the originals are in black and white, and it is absolutely beautiful.
I was looking at the artwork, it's really rad.
Yeah.
Like the transformation sequences.
Oh, yeah, that one when they're falling in the water a few times when he changes back to Jack.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
It's like, ah! And then it's like, Moon Knight's like, I don't believe it. Kick him in the face.
Yeah. doesn't miss an opportunity.
No.
But even throwing, like, his little moon, throwing star dart things that are shaped like moons, but they're silver. And you know, the way to kill a werewolf is just shoot him with a silver bullet. So it makes sense that he would be clad in silver to fight a werewolf.
Man, and he keeps going on about his bread. Like, all right, Bozos, you've already stalled the whole day in some top secret meeting, and I ain't waiting any longer. I brought you your pigeon. You know, where's my bread?
It's very, it's like that scene out of Flying High, you know, when the two black guys are talking, and it's, excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive.
Yeah, honestly, okay, if I didn't know it was Mark Spector, I would have straight away thought it might have been like Luke Cage talking.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really got his street lingo down.
Yes, big time.
I do like, just a little side note, the Werewolf by Night, because you wouldn't have this. You've got the Essential, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. In the issues, it has the letters page, and the letters page mm-hmm. for Werewolf by Night is called Weremail by Night. Yeah, that's not even clever. But, yeah, so we get back and... Mark Spector's taken Jack Russell back to the committee, and Frenchie's kidnapped Russell's sister and some other girl whose name is Topaz. There are some really bad names in this book.
Yeah. You know what? It's like they've just thrown stuff on a wall and see if it makes it stick.
Yep. And as they progress, we learn that the committee are there to see that if Jack really is a werewolf, they're actually going to keep it and release it at intervals to take care of anybody they want out of the way.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, for a guy like Jack, who's a nice guy, when he's not a werewolf.
He's a loser when he's a werewolf, when he's not a werewolf.
Yeah, he's a bit.
He's down on his luck.
Yep.
Poor guy.
But
Yep. Sorry, I'm just on the page now where Moon Knight sort of kicks the cage open and lets him free.
Yep.
It's very, it's very, as we said, street lingo. He's like, just a beast, all right? But at least a cleaner and more honest beast than you slimy slugs. At least he's a beast with guts. Beast who fights only to be free. That's the kind of fighter support, lard butts.
Lard butts.
It's like... Oh, man, who wrote this?
Lingo. Doug Fudge.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, oh, man.
But, so the Moon Knight, while they're with the committee and Mark Spector learns what they actually want Jack Russell for, he starts to sympathize.
They want to keep him as like a – yeah, they want to keep him like a pet or something.
Yeah, keep him like a pet, set him, and then let him loose when they need him to murder somebody.
Yeah.
And before their eyes, Jack changes back to the werewolf, and Moon Knight's – He's starting to sympathize with him. He's sort of saying, well, I'm a bit down on my luck because, you know, look at me, I've become a mercenary. You have a problem where you're a werewolf. You know, he can sympathize a bit with being that sort of that loser.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets, you know, the committee say to him, congratulations, Spectre, or Moon Knight if you prefer. You've done an excellent job. And Moon Knight just stares at Jack behind the bars, and that's when, as you were saying before, he cracks it with the committee and kicks the plate, kicks the gate open.
Yes.
And, and so it sort of shows that I always did wonder whether they originally wanted Moon Knight to become a hero or whether he was going to be a bit more like Taskmaster where he works for whoever pays him the biggest amount of money.
Well, that's the thing.
And that's another thing. Like, you just mentioning Taskmaster. Honestly, if change the costume around, and he'd be Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Or in just those issues.
You could almost just put Taskmaster in his place, really.
Yeah. Like, have they ever? That's another thing. Have they ever teamed up or been in a series against each other, Taskmaster and Midnight?
Funny you should ask. It's actually the Houston Finch runners I was talking about before. Towards the end of the first arc, I think it's about issue 3 or 4 he shows up, the committee were in this one, hire Taskmaster to take out Moon Knight.
Nice.
And he actually says to Moon Knight at one point in it, I hate, because as you know, Taskmaster can mimic anybody's style.
Yeah.
And he says to him, Spectre, I hate your style. You've never seen a punch you wouldn't take rather than dodge.
Yeah.
And so he's saying that, you know, Moon Knight is just that much of a nutcase that he'd rather get punched in the face and keep fighting than dodge a punch. Yep. And that's why Taskmaster hated it.
Yes. Nice. Nice. Question, though. The committee in the previous... So you're more of a Moon Knight knowledge person than me.
Mm-hmm.
The committee in Werewolf by Night, did they ever go up against Moon Knight again or no?
Yeah, they show up.
Like, get revenge?
Yep, they show up a few times.
As the same actual characters or no?
Well, different people, usually different people all the time. Especially when you get to the end of this issue and, you know, Jack Russell's free and they free the girls and get them out of there. And the big fat guy who's in charge of the committee, Moon Knight stops, throws into Jack Russell's arms and lets Jack kill him.
Does he actually kill him?
Yeah, he kills him.
See, I don't think he kills him. I just think he hits him in the face, like punch.
Well, he says to him, like, he goes, yuck, you may not mess around, Wolfie, but when you're finished, you sure leave a mess.
Finished, you'll leave a mess. Yeah.
And up the top it says, Fatso hit the floor like rubberized jello, and when the quivering stopped, it was just the two of us.
I growled softly.
Yeah, so I'd take that as he's killed him.
Wow.
Yeah, so... You know, I mean, he's a werewolf. He's going to kill people.
Mm.
But it also shows that Moon Knight's like, yeah, kill the guy. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then, you know, Moon Knight, the werewolf tries to attack Moon Knight again, and he makes his run for it.
He's out of the way.
With his money as well.
I know. I love that. Yeah. I love looking at that. He's sitting on the roof. He's like, it's been a pleasure doing business with you, pal, even if you aren't a werewolf. I hope you find whatever it is you're looking for.
Yeah.
And there he is with the money.
Of course, you've got to cut your money. You did the job, you get the money.
He got the Benjamins.
Got the Benjamins, baby. So, look, it's, you know, it's funny that, like we said, you could have put Taskmaster in this and it would have been a very similar story.
Yeah.
But create a new character called Moon Knight. And to me, reading these two issues, like I love these issues more for the fact that it's Moon Knight's first appearance.
Yeah.
But to think about it, they're not, you know, he's not a super first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like he did something spectacular. It's a very throwaway character.
Yeah.
To start with. And, I mean, he gained popularity because he got a Marvel Spotlight issue. And did a team up with the Thing, and then eventually he got the backup in the Hulk magazines, and then eventually got his own run.
Yes. Well, see in Essential Moon Knight, this volume that I've got, it goes straight from issue 23 of Werewolf by Night to Moon Knight number one. Oh, Marvel Spotlight on Moon Knight, so Marvel Comics Spotlight 28. So is that the official third appearance, or the other ones first?
No, that's his official, I'm pretty sure. And then after that, is it the Hulk magazine, the backup stuff? That's my that's probably going to be my next Holy Grail stuff, is to find a lot of those Hulk magazines and get all those backups, because they're just amazing.
Oh, he was in Spectacular. So he goes from – see, this thing goes Werewolf by Night, Marvel Spotlight, Spectacular – Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yep.
Marvel 2-in-1.
Yep.
Then your Hulk magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marvel previews.
Yep.
And then Moon Knight one.
Yep. So he had a lot of you know, thrown around appearances before he actually even got the backups in the Hulk one, let alone his own series.
Yeah.
And as I said, like if I was reading Werewolf by Night back in those days, didn't know anything about, you know, pick up these issues, oh, Moon Knight, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I started reading Moon Knight on the Houston Finch stuff and then went back later.
Yeah.
But if I'd read this, I would have thought, oh, yeah, Moon Knight. You know, like, yep, he seems like an interesting character enough, but not enough to warrant his own book.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you think about it, he can't really seem to sustain his own book anyway.
Yes.
I mean, if Bendis can't make it work, who can, really?
Yeah. Well, he did for 12 issues, but that's the thing. Didn't they just say it was going to be a 12-issue run all along?
No, it was always going to be an ongoing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. But it just didn't sell. People just didn't buy it.
Well, I mean, he's busy. That's the thing. Bendis was busy with Avengers stuff. So,
yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't mind seeing Fraction take on Moon Knight.
Well, I want either Dan Slott or Cullen Bunn to take it on, because I've heard a few interviews with both of them, and every time someone's asked that age-old question, oh, which character would you like to write, both of them have always said straight away Moon Knight.
Who's this?
Cullen Bunn and Dan Slott.
Hey, Cullen Bunn would be awesome.
Yeah, they both have said that they want Moon Knight. They want to write Moon Knight.
Okay.
And so, you know, I love Dan Slott's work, but Cullen Bunn is one of my favourite writers.
And he does horror good.
Yeah, and that's what I'd like to see. I was talking to someone about it on Twitter, and I'd love to see remember when they had like the Midnight Suns?
Yes.
And it was Ghost Rider and Morbius and Werewolf by Night and Doctor Strange and Man-Thing.
Yeah.
What I would do is get rid of Ghost Rider and put Moon Knight in there.
But he's not like a supernatural guy.
But he is. In a lot of his early appearances, he fights a werewolf. He fights zombies.
Yeah, all right, I guess.
I think he could. You think about the name and the look, I think he would work very well as a horror guy.
Yeah.
I think that would work more than, like, Ghost Rider's more religious supernatural rather than werewolves and vampires.
Sorry?
I say Ghost Rider is more of a religious supernatural sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Ghost Rider. There's been too many retcons and extra stuff, and it's just become a mess. There's female Ghost Rider now as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a character that I've gone out of my way to seek out.
Ghost Rider is a mess.
Yes.
No. Oh well. But Werewolf by Night, is he still around?
Yeah. He what did he show up in recently? He showed up in, they did a Legion of Monsters 4-issue mini written by Dennis Hopeless, which was really cool, and it had Morbius and Man Thing and the Mummy. I can't remember what the Mummy's name is, and the Manphibian, and and he also showed up in Frankencastle, the Punisher run.
Nice.
Which
nice.
I loved that run. That was great.
Okay.
That was good fun, that one.
Mm.
But he is around, and he's a type of character that you can always use to throw in, like, you know, you want to do a supernatural arc with Captain America or Iron Man or someone like that, you can always throw him in there.
Yeah.
You know, or you can, you know, you want to do a Doctor Strange, not the Doctor Strange, another character who can't sustain his own book.
Leave Doctor Strange alone.
I love Doctor Strange. But again, like Moon Knight, he's one that doesn't seem to have, to be able to sustain a whole book in these times.
Yeah.
He had a really good run when, you know, when Ditko was on the book, and that one went for, you know, hundreds of issues. And now they did a 6-issue mini by Mark Waid that didn't sell well enough that they almost weren't going to publish the 6th issue.
Yeah, wait, is that The Oath?
Yeah, is The Oath the Brian K. Vaughan one? It was one. It had something. I didn't read it. See, this is why it probably didn't sell.
Oh, I've got the Mark Waid one, actually. I do. I've got it.
Something to do with baseball?
Yes. And I was waiting for the second. I was waiting. It ends on a cliffhanger, and it's never resolved.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Rick Remender did the Doctor Voodoo series.
Oh, God.
That ran enough for a trade and was good. I
hate when it gets ended and it's left and that's it.
Yeah, and you can just see that they have, you know that the writer's building stuff up.
And they won't let him finish. It doesn't really cost them that much, like, honestly.
I mean, they could always do what they did with JMS's run on Thor.
Mm.
And just put out a supersized special.
Yeah, and let it finish.
Yeah. But yes, but we're getting off track here.
Yes, we are.
So Doug Munch would go on to write most of the Moon Knight later on, and he had the awesome run with Bill Sienkiewicz, which is some of my absolute favourite comics of all time.
Yeah, because he started, didn't he start in Doug Munch? He started on Moon Knight in Hulk magazine, yeah?
Yep.
Yep. And then the Marvel 2-in-1, it was Stephen Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter Parker's Spider-Man, it was Bill Mantlo.
Yep. Mantlo, mm-hmm. Another fantastic writer.
Not a fantastic writer?
He is. Yeah, he is a fantastic writer.
Oh, okay, so I thought you said not.
No, mm. I'd get strung up if I said that.
I do like the art, though, for the Spectacular Spider-Man one.
Who was that?
Jim Mooney.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's really, it's interesting. And it's Peter Parker during his, like, living in his own apartment days.
Ah, yep.
A bit of a player and whatnot. it's like when he's dating Betty.
Ah, yep, okay, yep.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if I would give, if I wanted to get someone into Moon Knight, I don't know if I'd give them these two issues.
Sorry, what was that?
If I was getting someone into Moon Knight, if I wanted someone,
give him those two issues.
I probably wouldn't give them these two issues just because it doesn't really give you that much of the character.
No.
I'd probably go with the start of his first ongoing.
Okay.
Like the first issue of Moon Knight number one of his first ongoing series has enough story in it that would fill a trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It just has so much information in there and so much backstory. Yep. And, it starts where, it gives you the whole origin where he starts, they retcon it so that he gets the Moon Knight. He becomes Moon Knight or he becomes the Avatar of Khonshu back in Egypt.
Yeah.
And then goes and
because he starts off just going against gangsters, and then, in the early stuff prior to his Hulk magazine stuff, it starts off that he's going against gangsters and organized crime and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then he's going up against, is it Bushmaster?
Bushman. Raoul Bushman.
Yes.
And, that's when he gets the Moon Knight suit later on from the committee, so they retcon it a little bit that he was already the Avatar of Khonshu, and when they give him that suit, he becomes Moon Knight. But
wait, so he already was Moon Knight?
He was already he has the Khonshu god who gave him his powers and brought him back from the dead.
Yeah.
And he becomes Moon Knight. He was sort of like an avatar of Khonshu, and then that when they gave him that suit, he pretty much took and ran with it to become Moon Knight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, anything else you wanted to comment on with these two?
No, look, I might give Moon Knight another read.
Yep.
Probably not. Probably stuff away from this.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest other than this run? Because pretty much this run has up until Moon Knight 10. Of Doug Minnick's.
Doug Munch. I would say read the Hulk magazine stuff.
Yeah.
And read, and just that, because that follows into the Moon Knight number one, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I would just read from there on.
Okay.
And then it's sort of one of those ones where you could read that and you get the origin and everything, and then you could go back and read these ones if you're interested in it.
Because that's when he got a white costume as well, didn't he?
Yeah. And that has more on Frenchie and Marlene, who he was living with at the time, who, you know, in the origin, Bushman kills Marlene's father, who's an archaeologist in Egypt. And
I don't mind the Pollard art. Keith Pollard.
Yep.
He's on art. Looks good.
I've got an original page from the Mark Spector Moon Knight run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sal Velludo page, and it's absolutely beautiful.
The Bill Sienkiewicz art is all right.
Oh, Sienkiewicz is my favourite artist of all time. And mm-hmm. And if you look at it, he's really aping the artist who did a lot of Avengers, and he did that Batman, or Neil Adams.
Yeah.
It's very Neil Adams early on. And then my favourite single issue out of the whole Moon Knight run is issue number 26 of Moon Knight, the first run.
Mm-hmm.
If you can have it, and you can get that really cheap too. I think I picked it up for $2 the first time I saw it.
Okay.
And it's just Sienkiewicz is going nuts. It's absolutely beautiful.
When did he start getting more crazy split personality-ish?
Moon Knight?
Yeah.
From the start. I mean, he had Stephen Grant, Jake Lockley, Mark Spector, and Moon Knight were all his personalities. So he always had them from the start.
Very strange.
Yeah,
very strange, man.
All right. So.
All right. Well, now, thank you for...
So say that again.
Me insight into Moon Knight.
Oh, no worries at all.
I have more stuff to read now. Thank you for giving me more insight into Moon Knight. I've got more stuff to read now.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say about that issue number 26, when Sienkiewicz did it, about two issues later, there was a letter from him on the in the back of Moon Knight saying that issue number 28 will be his last on the book, because after doing 26, he could not top himself on the book.
Okay.
It was like the height of his career at the time when he did it.
Okay.
And that was his own words. So, you know, it's pretty amazing that a book like Moon Knight could produce something like that from Bill Sienkiewicz.
Nice. See, one art I don't like. See, there was earlier Sienkiewicz stuff that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But the Moon Knight number one.
Yep.
Sienkiewicz art, I wasn't a huge fan of.
That's the real Neil Adams stuff, too.
Yeah. Like, Moon Knight 1 was Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yep.
But whereas the Marvel Preview 21 and the Hulk magazine and also, like, yeah, all the Hulk magazine stuff I liked.
Yep.
I think it might have been because of the inking.
Yeah, well, it's black and white and it's really coloring. Dark inks.
Yeah, I think I might have enjoyed it because I think it was Klaus Janson.
Yep.
Was doing the inking.
Yeah, and it's a horror book. It's drawn like it's a horror book.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, before you go, though, you've got one more job for me.
Yes. Looking at over the entries now, there are some good ones, but I think I'm going to have to go with someone's written in and they've suggested a villain.
Ooh.
Yes. Trev Wood. He said, The Rose, the kingpin's son who's formed his own criminal empire purely to ruin his father's.
I like it.
Yes. Because, I mean, the kingpin's up and about again, so, I mean, that would be pretty cool if The Rose came back.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to guess Trev Wood.
Excellent.
I'm going to go with Trev Wood.
Good choice.
Yes.
Okay,
congratulations, Trev Wood. You've won.
So, Trev, if you just want to either contact me on the Facebook page or at our email address for the podcast, and we'll get that Moon Knight hardcover sent out to you. So congratulations.
Ooh.
And anybody else out there who thinks they should have won, please direct all your comments to Billy.
Yeah, no thanks. Leave me alone.
All right. So that's all for this week.
Awesome.
So anything you'd like to plug, Billy, anything before we go?
Well, okay, I am on the Death Rocket podcast, so you can reach me there on Facebook, the Death Rocket podcast, or Twitter, Death Rocket Pod, or you can reach me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Aqualec. That's Aqualec.
That's it. And please listen to the Death Rocket podcast. It's great fun.
It's a horror and sci-fi podcast.
Covering all the good things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, horror and sci-fi. It's amazing.
What else do you need?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my invite onto the show, but we'll see how we go.
We only want professional people on there.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair call. That's fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, that's why you have me on here.
That's it. So, yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at Andrew_Shaw23. Comic Nights Pod is our Twitter handle. Also find us on Facebook. And, yeah, so please, any comments, anything like that, please send them across. But until next time, hope you can find your holy grail out there in the comics world. And thanks again for being on, Billy.
See ya.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.